Go ahead. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to Leviticus 23. We're going to be continuing on with our study in seed time and harvest. And last week we saw that the people of Israel were dependent on the Lord for the rain. And we talked about how the rain is a symbol of the Holy Spirit and how we need to be dependent on Him, to be seeking Him with what to do, not necessarily with our tithes and offerings, but with our offerings that we give, and that He will direct us and show us, just like He did with the children of Israel. And there, the next section we're getting into will cover the next 3 weeks, and it's all about harvest. We're going to look through three different harvests that they had for the children of Israel during that time. And the first one was the spring harvest. There was spring, summer, and autumn harvests. We talked about last week that the former rain, or the first rain, always came in October, November. And you may be sitting there going, why are we learning all this? Because it's important that you see, when you read the scriptures that talks about the former rain and the latter rain, you can know what that means now. It means the former rain came between October and November, and that was the rain that got the ground ready for them to plant. It's important because God often refers to the former and latter rains. In fact, in one scripture, I believe it is in Joel, and then again in the New Testament, where He talks about He's going to put both of them together and they're going to be greater. It's going to be greater than the former and the latter rain put together. That's a lot of rain because these are big rain times that they had. And so we're looking now at the harvest end. We talked about the seed time last week, and now we're talking about the harvest part. And the first one is the spring harvest, and I hope I can say this right. Pesah, I believe is how you say it in the Hebrew. It looks very different, but it's actually Pesah. And that is the feast of, or the festival of unleavened bread. It starts with Passover. It's the 14th day of Nisan in the Jewish calendar. That's the 14th is Passover, and then the very next day begins the feast of unleavened bread. The interesting thing that I saw about all these feasts is that harvests were dependent on the feasts. Isn't that really cool? The festivals, they told them when to start their harvesting. The first main crop that came, there were two. It was barley and wheat, but the first was barley. There were several other crops, but they were more minor because the majority of what the people ate in those days was barley and wheat. And the barley would be harvested 2 days. It would start 2 days before Passover. How cool is that? Every Passover, you know, 2 days before, it's time to go out. And the thing was that they could not eat any of the new harvest until they had brought forth their offering from the harvest. So they would go the 2 days before, and that would be the time that they would go out and they would gather in the barley, and it was called the early harvest. So it wasn't like they harvested the entire crop. It was the early harvest. They would go and they would harvest the first part that they would bring as their offering to the festival of unleavened bread. And there's a lot of cool things that we see here in Scripture. Passover, right before Passover, what they do is they clear out everything that has leaven in it. Have you ever heard that preached before? Where they go in and they cleanse out the old to make room for the new. Well, it's not just about Passover, but think about it in the realm of their harvesting too. See, a lot of these things, we don't get the whole Jewish picture because we're not Jewish, and so we don't quite understand all of the details, but part of the reason why they cleaned out the old was to make room for the new. What was the new? The new harvest that was coming in. So they would go through and they would, why is it important? Because how many people know, girls, let me just ask you, how many girls in this room know that if you don't clean out the old stuff before you put the new stuff in, then by the time you get down to the bottom where the old stuff was, it's got a real nasty taste. I don't remember how many times I've done it in the past where it would just be so much easier just to dump the bag of new pretzels on top of the old pretzels, and then you get to the bottom of the pretzel bag or pretzel container and you're like, what is this? This is gross because you didn't dump it out, right? Or how many times that we eat a lot of almonds in our house, and I'm always telling the kids, make sure the remnants at the bottom get dumped out or you eat them or something before you put the new one in. Because have you ever had an old almond before? It's gross. It's rancid, right? So you can see more of the picture of why it was important for them to clean out the old, to make room for the new. That was what was coming. That was the harvest that was on its way. A lot of people, when I was researching, they said, the question often comes up, so what did they eat for Passover then? This is a really cool thing. A portion of the harvest from the year before was set aside in a certain specific container in a certain place so that it was protected from the things that would ruin it or come in and contaminate it. All of a sudden, all these bells went off in my head. A lot of times we don't understand, what does that mean to me today? But you can take some of these things and they're so literal. Why do you put aside a portion of the money that you earn? Now, we don't have just three harvests in a year. At least I hope you don't. I hope you get your harvest every month from your paychecks, right? And so we don't have to set ours aside for a whole year. We set aside a tenth, right? Why do we do that? So that we don't become contaminated by the world around us and nothing comes in that can ruin us. How cool is that? That is an awesome truth for us today. So we need to cleanse out the old to make way for the new. Ask the Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm holding on to that I just need to let go of? Because sometimes as the increase in our finances happen, there's an increase in the things in our home. Amen? But sometimes the Lord is saying, okay, the increase is great, the new things are great, but there's some old stuff that's got to go. Right? Like I was sharing with you at the women's conference about the quilts that we make. There's some of the quilts that are just, they're raggedy pieces in our home. But you just want to hold on to them. It's like, no, the Lord's saying, clear out the old and make way for the new. Amen? So that we don't become cluttered up, contaminated by the things around us, so that the things aren't owning us anymore. Amen? Have you ever met somebody that just can't get rid of anything? And it contaminates, it becomes overwhelming in their life. So sometimes we have to clean out the old to make way for the new. The last point was, in the feast, they didn't do ordinary work on the first day or the last day of the feast. So they didn't work on Passover, they didn't work on the Sabbath, but they also didn't work on the first day and the last day of the feast. Now, I think this is amazing because a lot of times when a harvest is coming in our lives, what do we want to do? What do we want to do? We want to keep working. Stay on the field a little longer, a little longer, just a few more minutes. I can do this. Just one more day, because that tends to be the immediate response in the natural is work, 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 work. Come on, pull it in, pull it in, pull it in. I find it interesting. Here, the barley season harvest starts, and what does the Lord do? They at least have 4 days in this period where they have to rest. They can't do any ordinary work. Amen? So the Lord is telling us, even though the harvest is coming in, make sure that doesn't become your God and your goal. Make sure you're taking time to rest in Him. What did they do during those times? It was a festival. So they were rejoicing. They were praising the Lord for the harvest that was coming in. Somebody say amen. So you're resting, but you're also in a state of praise. You're also in a state of remembering, yes, this wealth is coming in. Yes, our harvest is coming in, but who is the one who is bringing this harvest? The Lord is the one that's bringing this harvest. He's taking their mind from the, whoa, these crops are so huge, everything's, oh, yes, it's coming in, to praising the Lord for the harvest. Why is he doing that? Because he's telling us, he's reminding us, that is not your God, that is not your focus, he is. If you keep him as your focus, if you keep him as the place where you worship and you praise and you're taking time, setting aside, not just working, 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 but to praise him, then your money will never control you. Let me say it again. Your money will never control you if you are always in a state of worship and praise to him. That's the lesson we can learn. Well, one of the lessons we can learn from this spring harvest. Number one, the fact that we have to clear out the old to make way for the new. Maybe you're one of those people that you need to just set a goal. Every time you buy a new sweater, one leaves your room. Amen? Maybe you're someone who needs to take a look at the things around your house and go, do I really need all this? And if you don't, pack it in your car and give it away to somebody who can. Amen? We want to keep our lives in a place where we can receive from the Lord. The third thing is that we need to set aside our tithe. The very first thing when your paycheck comes in, you write in your register, right underneath that, write your tithe. Because a lot of times we don't have electronics in the church to get it here immediately. But if you write that right underneath your deposit, the very first thing is your tithe, then you know, boom, it's gone. There's no threat, there's no temptation to, well, maybe, no. Just write it on there and write your check so you know it's good and gone. Amen? Because we don't want to be contaminated. And then the last thing is make sure you're taking time to set aside and not just work and harvest and harvest and harvest and harvest, but make sure you're setting time aside to rest and to praise Him for all that He's done in our lives. The first or the early harvest should always go to the Lord. They weren't allowed to eat any of that barley harvest, any of it, until they gave their offering on the second day of the festival. None of it was able to be used. That's why it's so important when you get your paychecks or you get the money that's your income, that the very first thing you do is set aside that to the Lord. Why? Why? Because then He blesses the rest. He blesses the rest. So our very first one is the spring harvest, the Pesach, the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Let's read in Leviticus because I preached and I didn't read it. Sorry. Leviticus 23:4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it, but you shall offer an offering made of fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it either. And then if you want to flip over, the other verse that I had was 1 Corinthians 5:7. Sorry, I got preaching and forgot the verses. It's important, though, to read the word. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this, therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be made a new lump, for truly you are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once again, it's showing it's not just an Old Testament thing, it's a New Testament thing. That we want to make sure that we keep our place, ourselves in that place of being new before the Lord. Amen? So we don't want the leaven of malice and wickedness to creep in. And that won't creep in if you are what? Setting aside a portion that will keep you from being ruined, that will keep you from being contaminated from the rest of the world around us. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the things that we're learning about these Jewish traditions, these Jewish things, so that, Father, when we read Your word, it can become even more alive to us, that we can understand it on an even greater level. Father, I just thank You for the knowledge of the latter and the former and the latter rains. I didn't know that before we started reading this. I just thought it was symbolic. But no, Lord, there was an actual former rain time and a latter rain time that meant everything to these people about their crops. And Father, I just thank You for Your word today, Father, that is alive. It's active. It's there to teach us and guide us and instruct us and train us into righteousness. And we just pray today, Father, that we would make it a goal to have that first, that early harvest, Father, go straight to You. That we would not hold back that first portion of our income, Father. We wouldn't say, well, I'll do it later. No, help it to be the Holy Spirit pricking everyone's hearts. When they write that in their register, the very first line after it is the church's name with their tithes. And I thank You, Father, that as we do that, You're going to bless the rest of our harvest. It's going to go farther than we imagined. It's going to be bigger than we imagined, Father, so we can continue to stay in alignment with your word, that we're going to continue not to be contaminated or ruined by the world around us, but Father, we're going to stay in that place of being cleansed and purified, a new lump. I like that, a new lump for you, with no malice and no wickedness in our hearts. And we just praise you for that today. Bless every seed that is sown. Bless the sower. Multiply it 100-fold, Father, so that we can give to every good work. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving net today. Let's make a confession of faith. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances today. Harvesting angels, go to the north, south, east, and west. Bring in my financial harvest. I receive debt cancellations, breakthroughs financially, inheritances, raises, bonuses, businesses, ministries, the blessing of God in every area of my life. And I'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Luke. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus, this morning. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you for that beautiful offering message and the worship, Pastor Shelley and Lane. Tremendous job. Well, let's pray over this message today and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your blessing today. We ask you, Lord, to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Now, if anyone wants a copy of the notes for this morning, pardon me, that's an irritating noise. There's been no other irritating noise this week, though, has there? Praise God. Does anybody want a copy of this morning's notes? Just lift your hands if you do. I see one, two, three, and maybe I can get a helper who's got a mask on. Just to, whoever wants one of these, you can take one. I want to introduce you to today's message, and it is called One More Vote to Count On. And the foundation text is this, out of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And it says this, through the Lord's mercies, somebody say mercy, right? We are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Somebody just lift your hands and say, Lord, great is your faithfulness. Come on, say it out loud. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And as I was, considering these things this week and so on and so forth, the Lord really impressed upon me since Tuesday. First of all, and I posted this one on Facebook, Psalm 94, verses 14 through 22. And it says this. First of all, I just titled this part, Held Up by His Mercy. Don't you know that right now, guys, it's all about God's mercy in our nation, amen? But Psalm 94, verses 14 through 22 says this, and I want you to hear this with an ear concerning talking about our nation today, amen? And honestly, before I even get into this, I wasn't going to do this today. I was ready to just move on, honestly. But the Holy Ghost won't let me. So if anybody has an issue with that, if this is irritating to you, take it up with the Holy Ghost, all right? I work for him. Amen? And these words that we're going to say this morning are on purpose. I believe they are prophetic. And I believe, as the Lord's been telling me this week, that there's still one more vote coming that they forgot to count. And it's God's vote. Amen? This thing ain't over yet, guys. No matter what the TV is saying, no matter what the phone is saying, No matter how they shut it off on Twitter and shut down Facebook and just neuter the gospel or whatever they want to do, it don't matter. There's still, somebody say, there's still one more vote coming in. They better check the mail. They better check the mail in Pennsylvania. They better check the mail in Nevada. They better check the mail in Georgia. They better check the mail in Wisconsin, Michigan. Somebody say, check the mail. There's one more vote you forgot. Every vote counts. Is it okay if I just have a little fun this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 94, verses 14 through 22. This jumped out off the page at me this week. It was in my daily Bible reading. I think, Lindsay, wasn't it like Wednesday or something? Or yeah. And here we go. For the Lord, verse 14, will not forsake his people, neither will he abandon his inheritance. But justice shall return to those who are righteous, and the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against those who do iniquity? You know, I kind of see myself this morning as part of the Black Robe Regiment. Back in the days of Paul Revere, man, when the British were coming and people in the nation were wanting to join the British or whatever. Or maybe during the Civil War when the South was trying to take over and just make their way of life everyone's way of life. Amen? So hear it in those types of terms, because I'll tell you what, this is that big. Somebody told me that Wednesday is 400 years since the Mayflower. This is all significant, you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're not fighting against people. We're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers in the darkness of this world. But no matter what your TV is telling you, it is not over yet. And I'm not the only one saying this, by the way. Amen. Verse 16 in Psalm 94 says this: who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against those who do iniquity? I hear our nation asking that, right? Unless, this is beautiful, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have lived in the land of silent death. Somebody say, there's one more vote. When I said my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, held me up. Somebody say, there's one more vote coming. Thank you, Evie. And even the kids who are too young to vote, you pray, and you're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. Even if smart-looking adults can't figure it out. I heard a story of a doctor this week that told a teenage kid, there's a girl inside of you. You're a boy, but there's a girl living on the inside of you. Lies! A doctor telling someone, that somebody say lies. Absolute lies. This kind of filth is absolutely ungodly, absolutely untrue, and the church will not stand for it. We certainly won't embrace it. Somebody say, there's one more vote coming. When I said my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, held me up. Verse 19 says this: when there is a multitude of worries within me, your comforts delight my soul. Well, let's just think about this year. Let's just back it up to like January. I can think of a multitude of worries that have come against the nation, right? Obviously the COVID stuff, then the social injustice stuff, now this issue, right? I've had a couple people in my family, I mean, one pass away from cancer, another one is trying to. Right, so not just the big picture stuff, but also just in our own individual lives, the school challenges, all these kind of stuff, they pile up. Pastor George calls it the devil's pile up technique. So here's a verse for me to keep my eyes on, like blinders, like a racehorse wears blinders. Turn it off, the news media, even Fox, you guys, is just, they ain't Fox anymore, man. Amen? Keep your eyes on God's word, right? When I said my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, held me up. When there is a multitude of worries within me, your comforts delight my soul. So where should my attention be? Somebody say, on the word of God. On his word that does not change. Amen? And guys, as we move on here, my faith is not in Donald Trump. My faith is not in Joe Biden. My faith is not in the United States of America. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he's telling me to say, but it's very clear which one of those men are people of faith in God and which one I chose and thousands, millions probably, of people chose. I don't know exactly the numbers, how they all counted up and so forth, but we can't trust the numbers is the point, right? Something completely bizarre happened in our nation this past week that is absolutely unacceptable. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll leave it to the courts to decide. Amen? We'll leave it to God to decide. Because why? Because there's still one more vote to count. Amen? When there is a multitude of worries within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall wicked rulers who make oppressive laws align with you? Amen? We were listening to Andrew Womack this past week talk about how there are courts that want to arrest him or fine him for daring to have a women's conference at his church because you're a COVID super spreader. It's like, what? Churches under fire, right? Oppressive laws. Now, I love you guys, and we're here to have church, and we can have church, but it's kind of oppressive to have to tell you you have to wear a mask and stay apart from one another, all that kind of, that's an oppressive thing. You can't leave your house, and they're amping it up right now if you haven't noticed. Oh, don't leave your house. Oh, don't celebrate Christmas together. Oh, don't go on vacation to the coast. Oh, the fear, 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 fear. Oppressive things. Amen? Shall wicked rulers who make oppressive laws align with you? They conspire together. Listen to this. God knows what's happening in the back rooms. Right? They conspire together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood to death. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Somebody say, the Lord is my defense. They conspire together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood to death. You want to know why there's such a problem in our country with lawlessness? Because leaders are lawless. There are leaders, a small percentage of leaders in this nation that are trying to hijack the country. They control the media. They control social media, big tech, all these things. And they're trying to hijack the nation right now. And they've been trying for decades. If they will not, I look at this verse, they conspire together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood to death. The most basic example of this is the abortion issue. If they will not stand up for the life of an unborn baby, why would they stand up for anything else? Unless it doesn't somehow benefit them. There are no laws to these people. We'll just change the laws. The Constitution is out of date. It's old. It's senile. The Bible certainly doesn't apply. There are no laws to us. We just change them. We'll just pack the Supreme Court. We'll change the rules in the justice system to get who we want in office so we can control you. Somebody say no. Somebody say, one more vote. there's one more vote to count on, and it's God's vote. Amen? The Lord is our defense, and our God is the rock of our refuge. We're depending on the mercies of God at this point. Because, man, the tidal wave of those people out there declaring that they won, declaring that they're this and that, and we're taking over. And I was just trying to relax and watch college football last night. Praise God, the Ducks are back, right? Well, I turned it on, and every station is a speech of we're taking over. They shut off football. Oppressive. I mean, come on, I just need a break. Hello. Tell me this, would they have ever done that for President Trump? First of all, President Trump wouldn't be interrupting football. Amen. It's a takeover, a coup, lies. Talk about wanting to be the party of justice. Are you kidding me? They're using people. They're using Biden. They're using him. They'll use senior citizens. They'll use African Americans. They'll use homosexuals. They'll use anybody they have to get what they want. But I got good news. There's still one more vote in the mail that they haven't checked yet. Somebody say, one more vote. Now, finally, this came to me. I turned on the TV yesterday morning to hear all the stuff, you know. But I was just wanting to watch again. I was just turning on to see the USC was on, you know. And I clicked over, hey, maybe there's another game on this channel. Nope. It's them, every station declaring, we've won! We've won, the media declaring. We've won. Really? FYI, there's one more vote to count on. Amen? But Saturday morning about 2:30, I just woke up praying. I mean, it's just in my gut, man. It's like, this just doesn't, it don't feel right. Something ain't right. And I got up praying and open up my phone, because I didn't want to turn all the lights on to read my Bible. Let's open up my phone to Bible Gateway, and it was, I don't remember opening it to Psalm 27, but it came up Psalm 27. So I'm like, okay, let's see what Psalm 27 says. And three verses jumped off the page at me. Number 7 says this, Psalm 27, verse 7. The king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy, somebody say the mercy, of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Huh? What that tells me, church, and I'm going to step out on a limb and say this because I don't care. That tells me right there, Donald Trump is president in 2021. Because it said right there, the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. How do you know that? Well, because I know this. There's still one more vote that they haven't counted yet. And verse 8 says this, your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. How do you overcome such a tidal wave of wickedness? Somebody say, but God, the mercy of the Lord will expose it. It will be undeniable. And they'll have to address it. And they'll have to confess it, even though some never will. And I'm not an angry pastor because the guy I voted for lost in their eyes. If it had been a just election, okay, I'm not happy, but fine, right? We'll just move on. But this was not. This was not. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. Verse 11 says this. Now, I'm reading this at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday, right? For they intended evil against you. So see, God takes this very personally, right? Not talking about President Trump or the church or whatever. He's talking about himself, right? For they, it's the Y is capitalized there, right? For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Somebody say, this is Bible. But we don't believe in the Bible. The Bible is old. The Bible is ancient. The Bible doesn't apply to today. There is no God. There is, whoever God is to you, the Constitution is old. We don't believe in jail, so why can we break the laws? What are laws? Somebody say, check the mail. There's one more vote in there. Or check the ballot box. Hallelujah, somebody say. Glory to God. His mercies, his faithfulness toward our country, toward his church, it ain't over yet. So here's what I have to do. Turn the noise off and keep my eyes on Jesus. Amen? So there's still one more vote to count on. And I'm counting on it, man. I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. And you know, the only reason I'm even telling you this is because he told me to tell you this. That's the only reason. And we'll get to that in a minute. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That word holy means set apart. Set apart from what? From what we're hearing right now, right? For one thing. Amen. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, the light is about to turn on in dark places. And you know, this is just coming to me right now. But it's true, right? To proclaim the praises of God. America leads the way in getting the gospel preached around the world. Amen? And so God's going to make sure that can still be happening. Amen. Praise the Lord forevermore. And the world, by the way, Vancouver is a part of the world. Just in our local area, church, when thinking about one of the guys said that Washington or California passed a law that basically makes it legal to shoplift. Oregon passed a law that basically makes it legal for you to have heroin or other crazy drugs. Washington passed a law for the sex ed stuff that's just nutty and goofy. Makes you wonder, maybe were possibly any of those tampered with. But you know what I found encouraging, to be honest with you, is looking at the numbers, it was basically 60-40, even in the media. To me, that was in Washington and Oregon. It's like, you know what, all that is about an 11% swing that we would need. I got faith for that. If we just keep preaching the gospel and spreading God's word and sowing seeds and believe in God, an 11%, are you kidding me? Somebody say, that's doable in the long term, amen? Praise the Lord. So I just chose, see, right now we have to find things to look at that are nice. The other day I was driving home, turned off the political radio. I was like, you know, and I'm in Portland. I'm driving through Portland, and I'm like, Lord, thank you for that green grass. Thank you for the streetlights that are blinking red and green. Thank you, Lord, that place that used to be an adult establishment is now just a gambling establishment. That's a step up. Thank you, Lord, that There's a chiropractor shop and a doctor's office and a place that sells sub sandwiches. And, you know, instead of focusing on all the things that are wrong, he's teaching me, start looking for things that you like and thank me for them. Amen. Because if I allow that anger to just dwell in me, it makes me sick. Literally, I felt sick to my stomach this week, right? No. Somebody say no. Where's our hope? In Jesus. And guess what he told me this week? There's still one more vote to count. Amen? And it says this in Exodus 14, 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Don't you know, ain't nobody can get this done like Jesus can get this done. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful this came to my attention this week, too. Something Eagle Mountain has out there, and this is from Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And you can watch America Stands, I think, every morning. They're going to have it going every morning during the week, like at 9 o'clock, just to give us updates. It's a better source of news. Pastor George mentioned something this morning. I think he called it Newsmax, that is better than Fox. So, amen. Those are good resources, right? Because not everybody's telling the truth right now. Why? They got bills to pay, man. If I stand up against it, it's going to overtake me, they think. But I got good news. There's still one more vote to count. Amen? But I want to lead you through these prayer points that Congresswoman Bachmann brought up. And I'm just going to read this as we close. And I posted it on Facebook. Shelly actually has 10 copies of it. If you're an intercessor and want to be praying these things, I would encourage you to do it. Amen? Because it ain't over. Praise God. And beyond all that, like we've been telling each other all week, my faith isn't in who's in office anyway. But you know what? The Holy Ghost is saying, don't let up right now. Don't just accept what they're saying to you. Hallelujah. Don't go around saying, oh, there's our new president. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Do not concede this election, church. Amen. When I hear it coming out of President Trump's mouth, we're moving on. But not till then. Hallelujah. And I don't believe it's going to. You know why? You know why? Because there's still one more vote to count on. Somebody say, check the mail. Check the ballot box down at the bottom. So here we go. So the prayer point, we've got, I think, 5 prayer points. Amen. And it says this. Michelle wrote in her message to Brother Copeland, in the aftermath of the election, what is going on in the battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada is nothing short of wicked. It is now time for the body of Christ to step up. Knowing that our prayers avail much, the intent of sharing these prayer points is to mobilize a mighty intercessory prayer army to storm the gates of heaven on behalf of the voters of these states. The prayer strategy is simple. Join us in praying through the prayer petitions below, then forward this post to at least 10 friends. Hey, look, 1, 2, 3, 4. Who are prayerfully concerned, not just anybody, amen? I didn't put this on my Facebook everybody page. I put this on my Facebook church page. Because the Facebook everybody page, not so much, amen? Praise God. The original distribution was to 20 prayer warriors and only 6 generations for forwarding this letter. It has potential for reaching 20 million prayer warriors. The following 5 prayer points to pray right now. Somebody say right now. Or like Brother Copeland says, right now. For the election as submitted by former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Prayer point number 1. Expose and hold accountable those who practice 7 things God hates and he says are detestable to him according to Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. One, haughty eyes. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Five, feet that are quick to rush into evil. And six, a false witness who pours out lies. And seven, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So we pray this, Father, just agree with me. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask that in the battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada, please silence every lying tongue and convict the hearts of those who devise wicked plans intended to invalidate and nullify the expressed will of the voters. Stop those who would be quick to rush into evil. Expose and silence every false witness who utters lies and operates in deceit. Thwart the efforts of every person who attempts to stir conflict within their community. Somebody say amen. Prayer point number two. Expose all wickedness intended to steal, kill, and destroy the electoral process in these battleground states. Oh, I'm so thankful for people like this. I mean, she gets right down to where it needs to be, right? So, Father, we humbly ask that in the battleground states again of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada, that you reveal deep and hidden things. You know what lies in darkness. Light dwells with you. Daniel 2:22 says that. Please bring to light and expose every lie, deceit, deception, misrepresentation, and illegal act intended to steal, kill, and destroy the electoral process and expressed will of the citizens and these states. John 10:10. Somebody say amen. Prayer point number three. Frustrate those who seek to steal, kill, and destroy electoral integrity and authentic, accurate vote counts in these battleground states. So we pray this, Father. Heavenly Father, please frustrate the plotting of the shrewd so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise or attain success. May no weapon formed intended to steal, kill, and destroy the authentic, accurate vote count and expressed will of the people in the battleground states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada be allowed to prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Somebody say, amen. I want to hear a nice loud amen. Like you're hitting the gavel. Amen. Judgment. Hallelujah. Hey, God is still the judge, man. Amen. Prayer point number four. Frustrate and thwart. I like that word, thwart. Frustrate and thwart the plans of those who attempt to sabotage the state's election laws and subvert the expressed will of the people. Glory to God. So we pray this, Father. Please capture the wise by their own shrewdness and quickly thwart the advice of the cunning, Job 5:12, whose intention is to sabotage and subvert state and federal election law and the expressed will of all the people in the battleground states of, guess what, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, North Carolina, Arizona, and Nevada. Hold them guilty, O Lord, by their own devices, let them fall. Psalm 5, verse 10. Somebody say, amen. Go ahead, give your table a pop. Amen. The gavel. And then she says, finally, in prayer point number five, to pray Psalm chapter 5 over, everybody say, President Trump. He is the president. You know, amen. Psalm chapter 5. I'm going to read it out loud. And we're going to pray this over our president right now. Right now. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Glory, 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 glory. Psalm chapter 5 says this. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. Somebody say mercy, right? In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those who rejoice, who put their trust in you, let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Hallelujah. And defend, in my Bible, also says protect and cover. Somebody say, God's got this thing, man. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. And here it is, with favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Oh, somebody thank God for that. And then she pray, the prayer is this, Heavenly Father, please give ear to the President Trump's words, O Lord. Consider President Trump's groaning. Heed the sound of his cry for help, for you are his King and his God. For to you does he pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear his voice. In the morning, he will order his prayer to you and eagerly watch. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. Destroy those who speak falsehood. You abhor the man of bloodshed and deceit. But as for President Trump, by your abundant loving kindness, he will enter your house. In your holy temple, he will bow in reverence for you, Lord. Please lead President Trump in your righteousness because of his foes. Make his way straight before him. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God. By their own devices, let them fall. In the multitude of their transgressions, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against you. But let President Trump take refuge in you and be glad. Let him ever sing for joy. May you shelter him. May he who loves your name exult in you. Bless President Trump, O Lord. Surround him with favor as with a shield. Heavenly Father, please give supernatural wisdom, strength, and discernment to the president and his advisors regarding how to navigate the road ahead. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody hit the gavel and say, amen. Glory to God. Just stand on your feet and lift your hands to Jesus and thank him for his words today to us. Somebody just say, I believe that. I receive that. There's one more vote to count on. Oh, we praise you for it, God. We are counting on you. Somebody say, Lord, we're counting on you to do what only you can do and do it now. Somebody say, now. Angels of God, go now and unveil the secret things that need to be exposed and raise up the righteous and put down the wicked, Father. And help them all to be saved, God. They're not our enemies. The devil is our enemy. But this nation will not be taken under by the power of darkness. And we praise you for it, God. We praise you for it. And as the word that Shelley brought this week on prayer and praise, God, we choose to rejoice. We choose to rejoice. Hallelujah. Rejoice in our God. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Can we end on a worship song, honey? Do you got something? Do you have a worship song we can end on? Just whatever's in your heart, yeah.
I choose to stand on your word. I choose to live my life for you every day that I'm on this earth. I choose to love as you love. I will forgive as you forgave. There is no hesitation in the choice that I have made. I choose to see as you see. I choose to stand on your word. I choose to live my life for you every day that I'm on this earth. I choose to love as you love. I will forgive as you forgave. There is no hesitation in the choice that I have made. I choose you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for these words today. And we give you all the praise. Just as we ended last week's service, we say, it is finished.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll go about praising you, God, being about the business that you've called us to be doing with work and ministry, families. God, we will rejoice in the God of our salvation. And we'll keep our eyes on you all week long. In Jesus' name. And we'll commit ourselves, God, to continue in an attitude of faith, prayer, and praise at all times. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You are dismissed this morning. God bless you. Yeah. What? Oh, yeah. Hey, Luke has something he wants to share really quick, too. So if you can just hold tight.
Okay, so I was reading in the Bible, and I feel like God told me to read this to you guys. So it says, therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying you shall not serve the king of Babylon or the president of the United States, as the case may be, for they prophesy and lie to you. And this was in my heart because it sounds like what they're doing today. So, yeah.
That's a good word, buddy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, we're going to believe the truth.
Truth.
The truth. Thank you, Luke. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed.